Watcher. It's Mike Wynn and it's the real enjoyment of jazz. Two pianists improvising together has the potential to be a complete disaster. So let's see how these two guys go. And that was If I Should Lose You, Ralph Ranger's 1936 compo for the film Rose of the Rancho. And it's become a jazz staple, and it's here performed live at the Umbria Jazz Winter Festival of 2010. The Winter Festival being a smaller version of their more famous jazz festival in the summer, in July each year. The two pianists chose the songs, but did no more than that. No rehearsals, no plans, no directions. It helps, of course, that the two pianists are world class. First is Chick Corea, who's made something of a habit of playing duo piano improvisations these last few years, with the likes of Herbie Hancock, Frederick Gulda, Nicolas Economou, Gonzalo Rubalcaba. And to that list of notables can now be added Stefano Bellani, Umbria being almost his local festival. This ECM CD has a glossy 16-page set of liner notes, mainly colour photos of the two pianists. There is a limit to how many different angles you can photograph a pianist from. They exceeded that limit. Next, Webster Young. Thank you. Webster Young only made three albums as a leader, this one, For Lady, being the first of them, recorded in New York, June 57. This was his only studio recording, the other two being from a live gig in St. Louis. And yet Webster Young is something of a big name in jazz, despite the scarcity of his recordings. He played with Coltrane, Dexter Gordon, Jackie McLean, Lester Young, Bud Powell, and even Ike and Tina Turner. This particular album, For Lady, is obviously dedicated to songs associated with Lady Day, Billie Holiday. And Strange Fruit is arguably her most famous song. I've got the original pressing Prestige LP in front of me. It pictures a rear view of an elegant lady with an unfurled parasol, and it's not Billie. Webster Young came to New York on the advice of Miles Davis, so it's really odd that he didn't have much more success. But Prestige rolled out their big names for this recording. Paul Quinichette, tenor, Joe Puma, guitar, Mal Waldron, piano, Earl May, bass, Ed Thigpen, drums. And all of them went on to become leaders in their own right. We've all heard this next song thousands of times, but not like this. Thank you. one-time but short-lived Ellingtonian, Charles Mingus had the very highest regard for the music of Ellington and Strayhorn, despite being fired from the Ellington Band by the Duke himself. And that's a wonderful interpretation of the Ellington Band's theme, Strayhorn's Take the A-Train. The LP is called Mingus Revisited, and it's one of the most intriguing gatefold albums, with copious liner notes in the middle of the gatefold, rather like a booklet, in fact. Recorded in New York, May 1960. Mingus on bass, Ted Curson trumpet, Jimmy Nepper trombone, Yusef Lateef and Eric Dolphy flutes, Joe Farrell and Booker Irvin on tenors, Paul Blay piano, Danny Richmond drums. The band is expanded for a couple of the songs on this LP to a 24-piecer. It's a real struggle to say goodbye to this LP and return it to its rightful place on the shelf, but hopefully I'll get over it. Next, an old fave of ours that we haven't heard for ages. Londonderry Air, now far better known as Danny Boy and beloved of all Irishmen and Irishwomen the world over, here played by Charles Postlethwaite on an LP called Dual Image that mixes jazz and classical guitar solos. Postlethwaite was really a General Motors mechanical engineer, but all along he knew what he wanted to do and he left that well behind him to become a consummate musician. This next LP is intriguing, albeit in an anoraky sort of way.
Thank you.
Recorded in Paris in July 58, it was to be the soundtrack of a film, but the project was cancelled, and for some years, 50 years in fact, the acetates lay unloved on a shelf. The LP is called Jazz in Camera. That was Jazz in Camera Band 5. There are six in total. Much of the music was improvised around the theme of Dizzy Gillespie's A Night in Tunisia. The aborted film was intended to be an avant-garde jazz film, simply filming the musos recording the music using multiple cameras. The Philips record label provided the studio, but the sponsors went bankrupt. And luckily, the acetates were eventually found and have been transferred to CD and LP in October 2011. The musos are serious players, so it's odd that Philips didn't want to release the soundtrack to the non-existent film earlier. Maybe, of course, they didn't own the rights to it back then. Donald Byrd, trumpet, Barney Willen, tenor, Jimmy Gawley, guitar, Walter Davis Jr., piano, Doug Watkins, bass, and Al Levitt, drums. Question: what goes between Chicago and LA? More than 2,000 miles all the way. Why? Route 66, of course. Originally recorded as Get Your Kicks on Route 66. Nat King Cole and his trio were the first to record it, and it was a hit for them. It's subsequently been recorded by everyone, from Buddy Rich to Chuck Berry, from Bing Crosby to the Rolling Stones, and in December 65 by altoist Hank Crawford for Atlantic Records. Another wonderful gatefold LP, by the way. Wendell Harrison, tenor, Lonnie Shaw, baritone, John Hunt and Fielder Floyd, trumpets, Charles Green, bass and Milt Turner, drums. The album is called Mr. Blues. Next, a male vocalist.
Red sails in the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one home safely to me. She sails me to darling, robin blue. Red sails in the sunset, I'm trusted in you. Swift wing, human borrow, head straight for the shore. We're gonna marry tomorrow, then you'll go sailing no more. Red sails in the sunset, way out on the sea. I'll carry my loved one home safely to me. Ah, let's jump.
That was Joe Turner, Big Joe Turner. He started work in his native Kansas City at the age of 14 as a cook and a barman, and he became known as the singing bartender, and he attracted attention from, amongst others, Count Basie. He was known as a blues shouter, but could also sing tender ballads or modify a popular song such as Red Sails in the Sunset into a gentle blues. Incidentally, Red Sails also originates from Northern Ireland, Londonderry in fact, like Londonderry Air earlier. It was written in 35 and inevitably Nat King Cole had a hit with it, in that case in 51. This version was recorded in Los Angeles in August 75 for Pablo Records. Of the group on the rest of the record, Milt Jackson and Roy Eldridge sit out for Red Sails, leaving Pee Wee Creighton guitar, J.D. Nicholson piano, William Walker, that's a great name for a bass player, and Charles Randall drums. Plus Big Joe, of course. Talking of Nat King Cole's brother...
Our Sunday is a very special day, when I always find a way, and a special time to say how I love you. A day to thank you for the little things you do. A day to thank you for the rest of the year too. Our Sunday brings a certain smile that makes my life seem worthwhile. And helps wipe away the tears of lost years. And if I have one wish that's answered when I pray, I'll pray that each day is our Sunday. And if I have one wish that's answered when I pray, I'll pray that each day is our Sunday.
Freddie Cole with a very unseasonal song, Our Sunday, from an LP called Freddie Cole's Christmas Dreams, but with all new Christmassy songs written for this album by Ray Parker, music and lyrics. Not easy being Nat King's brother. Same style of voicing, but Freddie, although always in Nat's shadow, is a serious muso. He studied piano at Juilliard, graduated from the New England Conservatory of Music, and he's made some truly great records, but he's always been Nat's brother. By the way, this was not one of his truly great records, recorded in 75 and largely ignored by the critics and discographies. Hey-ho. Here's a contrast. Thank you. The violinist Zach Brock from Lexington, Kentucky, grew up in a musical family. Pa was a guitarist, banjoist and trumpeter. Ma, a classical singer and voice teacher. And they, rather inevitably, formed a family band and went gigging. Zach took up the violin at four. Zach went to Northwestern University to study music, but after a serious accident after literally just 1 month at university, sidelined him for 3 years, but he eventually went back in 96 and graduated in 99. Zach composed the song we've just heard, Among the Stars, recorded for Crisscross Records in Feb 2012, with Aaron Goldberg piano, Matt Penman bass, Eric Harland drums. It's Ellington time. Ellingtonian time, I should say. Or is it Ellington time? As they say, the show must go on. That was the Duke Ellington Orchestra, quote, under the direction of Mercer Ellington, unquote. The Duke had passed away in May 74, but the band, with his son Mercer, kept on touring and recording. This was Chicago, Jan 75. Some of this album was recorded in July 74, literally less than 2 months after Ellington died. Yes, the show must go on. The front cover of this album, Continuum, shows Mercer flanked by the two remaining big stars, Harry Carney and Cootie Williams. But by Jan 75, the seemingly ever-young Carney had gone. He died in October 74. Of the true, true Ellingtonians, this recording included only Mercer, Cootie, Harold Ashby and Chuck Connors. I saw this band a couple of times, and on both occasions my overall feeling was one of sadness that this great, great institution had finally gone. That song, written by a former Ellingtonian, Rick Henderson, was called Carney, and obviously dedicated to Harry. And Joe Temperley on baritone took Harry's part and did Harry Carney proud. Do you remember the dance craze, the Madison? No, me neither. So, concentrate now.
It's Madison time. Hit it. You're looking good, a big strong man. When I say hit it, I want you to go two up and two back with a big strong turn and back to the Madison. Hit top. You're looking good. Now when I say hit it, I want you to go two up and two back, double cross, come out of it with the rifleman. Hit top. Now when I say hit it, I want the big strong M, erase it and back to the mat. Hit it. Walk on, you're looking good. Now then, when I say hit it, it'll be tea time. I want the big strong Cleveland box and back to the Madison. Hit it. Crazy. Now when I say hit it, I want the big strong basketball with the Wilt Chamberlain hook. Strong Jackie Gleason and back to the Madison. Hit it. And away we go. Now then, when I say hit it, Birdland, when I say stop. Hit it. How about a little stiff leg there? You're looking good. Now when I say hit it, come out of the Birdland, back to the Madison. Hit it. Crazy. When I say hit it, go two up and two back, double cross and freeze. Hit it. And hold it right there.
This Columbia LP is called It's the Newest Dance Craze, Madison Time, by the Ray Bryant Combo. I hesitated over that particular track as the so-called Calls by Peck Morrison rather got in the way of some truly great R&B jazz, but I thought maybe you'd enjoy it. That was the Madison Time Part 1. There is a Part 2 without the annoyingly enthusiastic Peck Morrison. Recorded March 1960 with Harry Sweet's Edison trumpet, Irby Green trombone, Buddy Tate tenor. This is a strong lineup. Ray Bryant piano and his brother Tommy bass with Billy English drums. And of course, you know who, talking. We had a version of A Sleeping Bee just last week. It was a vocal then, and this time, a guitar duet.
Thank you.
two of the Pizzarelli tribe, two of the guitar-playing Pizzarellis, Father Bucky and Son John, both playing seven stringers, hence the title of this March-April 84 recorded Stash LP, Swinging Sevens. The liner notes call that version of Harold Arlen's A Sleeping Bee as at an easy bouncing ballad tempo. This next one is called Harmonica Shoe Boogie. I wonder why. The title, Harmonica Shoe Boogie, is almost self-explanatory. Well, harmonica and boogie, certainly. The shoe part refers to the clarinet and tenor playing, but here on the harmonica, Eddie Shoe. It's actually a Gene Krupa-led trio, Krupa on drums, obviously, and Teddy Napoleon piano. This Verve LP cover calls it Gene Krupa and his orchestra, one half of which played piano, the other half the harmonica. Recorded Feb 1st, 54, originally for the Clef label, which was owned by Norman Grantz, who started the Verve label in 56 and reissued most of his Clef and Norgrand stock on Verve. Just got time for one more, and it's trumpeter Maynard Ferguson on a rather worn LP, not worn by me, I should add, but I think by Betty, who has scribbled her name on the front cover. I've cleaned the track as much as I can, but Betty didn't look after her records very well at all. This was recorded in New York in 64 with a big band, which includes the likes of Dusko Gojkovich and Ronnie Cuba, and on drums, Rufus Jones, who was later to join the Ellington Band. I'm not going to tell you the title, just in case you think I'm becoming obsessive.
Thank you.
As always, I really hope you've enjoyed this amble along the shelves of my record collection, and equally hope that you will be back with me, Mike Wynne, next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care. Keep well.